Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been a beautiful winter, really one of the best winters ever. We've got a foot of ice on the lake, so you can drive your car out there to your fishing shack if you should like. We've got plenty of snow. It's just, woods are just so beautiful, as Robert Frost wrote in that famous poem, "I Stop Here to Look at the Woods Which Are Full of Snow," the woods of a guy I know. I believe he lives in the village. I just like looking at it. My horse thinks I'm nuts. It's the darkest evening of the year, and the woods are really lovely, and they go on for a long way, but I said I would be home soon, and I've got a lot to do before bedtime, so I better get a move on. Something like that, he wrote in his famous poem. And that's what it's like in Minnesota, just bright sunny days and bitterly cold, which is our good excuse for running old people out of town, all of the confused and complaining people and the lame and the worriers and the paranoid. We just ship them off to Arizona, and suddenly life is just so much easier without having to get them in and out of cars. It just takes forever, and those quavery voices nattering at you in the corner. I feel a draft on my legs. Well, put on your pants then if you feel a draft. No. So we send them off to concentration camps in Phoenix and Tucson, where they do crafts, you know, and they make useful things out of clothes hangers, and they play in kazoo bands, and they go to senior lunches where somebody lectures about advances in diabetes. And what worries me is that so many of these people are my age. More geezers my age than ever before. And this summer, I, too, will be forced to retire, because public radio gives this relevancy test to program hosts at the age of 70, and I did not pass because I had no idea who Felicia West is, or Alex Webb, or what Meshdons are. I never heard of Meshdons, and I never saw one episode of Gaw on TV, and I have no idea what bro to go means. And so I'm bound for retirement, and already people are telling me, oh, you'll be busier than you ever have been in the past. And what they're talking about is making useful things out of clothes hangers and going to luncheons and hearing about diabetes. I mean, too many old people is what's wrong with this country. And make America great again. That's an old person's slogan. That's nothing that young people would think of. We've had 8 years of the coolest president in history, and they want the country to go back. They want us to go back to 1958 and get 8 miles to the gallon. This is just insane. This real estate mogul with the bleached hair. I mean, he's rallying an army of the demented to build a wall and have a religious test for admittance. This is not a candidate for you and me. This is a candidate for people who hear the pipes clanking and they think somebody's sending a message. This is dementia. Which, see, we don't have this in Lake Wobegon when the temperature gets down to 10 below, which life gets more rational. We're too busy to be crazy. There's just a sense of grandeur looking out at the landscape out there, and heroism whenever you walk out the door. And there's work to be done. Men are performing the ritual task of shoveling snow and clearing sidewalks, which is a primitive form of male marking. It's male marking. It's sending a signal to other men that you are capable, and so you are strong, and they had better not try to steal your woman, though ironically you're having cleared the sidewalk has made it easier for them to do that. But It's a good place to be in the winter. The word is out now that Clint and Clarence Bunsen have found a buyer for Bunsen Motors, and they think the sale could be as early as the first week of March, and their customers are, you know, they're feeling sad about this, but the brothers, not so much. I mean, Clint and Irene are talking about moving down to Albuquerque because she has arthritis, and winter makes it very, very painful. Clint, just he cannot even imagine what life would be like without getting those calls early in the morning from people whose cars won't start. And so off he has to go in the tow truck. He'll have some getting used to. Irene wants to sell her mother's house, which is down in Minneapolis now that mother's moved to a memory facility, and her brother Jimmy is still living in this house. He has for 15 years. He's suffering from depression as a result of medicine that he took for a schizophrenic episode triggered by an overdose of sugar, and he's had this sugar intolerance, which was caused by post-traumatic stress from a car crash that he was involved in. He walked away from the crash, but he was traumatized, and so mother took care of him all these years, and now he's alone. He's living in one room in this big house, and the other rooms are just full of his stuff, and Irene was on the phone with him on Tuesday, and she's lost patience with her, because he said to her on the phone, "You have never understood me. You've never cared about my needs." And she just yelled at him. She yelled, "You are using insanity to cover up the fact that you are a jerk." But she tossed in a couple of other adjectives, and she slammed the phone down, and she was so furious she went around the house cursing and whipping this dish towel around, and then she stalked out the front door and she headed for the shop to talk to her husband. And just as she came around the corner of Taft Street and Main, she was still furious. It was all pent up, and she let out the most tremendous burst of gas in her entire lifetime. It's like somebody jumped on top of a trombone. It was like a truck horn that sounded, and she fell down in the street. She was laughing so hard she could not get up. She lay there in the snow, and the town constables came by, Gary and Leroy, and they stopped. They said, "You okay, Irene?" Well, she was turning red, and Gary got out, and he was thinking Heimlich. She could see that. He was thinking Heimlich. She said, "Don't you dare touch me. I'm all right." But she was lying on the snow there, and she was kicking her legs. Gary said, "What brought this on?" And she started to say, "I farted," but it wouldn't come out. She was gasping, and they had to pick her up, and they had to take her home and put her in bed. And still she was quivering and trembling there. She was people talking about it all over town. One more reason for them to move to Albuquerque, I guess. Now, there are big things happening in this little town. Next October is going to be the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and the Lutherans are talking about celebrating this. They're going to send a big group of them over to Germany to follow the steps of Martin Luther. They're also thinking about replacing the red carpet in church with a green carpet. They have never, ever had green in the history of this church. It has always been red. There's going to be a discussion of this at the annual meeting. Oh, it's an exciting time. Winter, everything just comes alive. Our old Lutheran minister, Pastor Inquist, came back to the Moonlight Bay Supper Club with his ex-wife, Judy. They came for the filet mignon special, and they sat opposite each other at a candlelit table. And there they were. They were laughing. They split up a couple of years ago, and they were laughing, they were talking, and they were having wine together, and he reached over and he put his hand on her forearm, and she touched him on the cheek. Winter, it just brings out the best in people. It's too cold to be angry. It's too cold to be irrational. So that's the news from Lake Wobegon. For all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.